is there, as everyone's trying to get in. We are really, really blessed today to have a family of amazing people amongst us. At Glasgow Elam, family is our foundation. We're a church that nations and generations call home, and we're quite passionate about celebrating our diversity, but we're also quite passionate about kids and young people and getting it right for our current generation and the next generation. And it is a privilege then as a church to be able to support as our missionary project an organisation or a couple of people that embody this particular value for us and who run a fantastic ministry called King's Kids Children's Home in Indonesia. And Cheryl and Nofi, in my opinion, are heroes of the faith, absolute heroes. It says in Isaiah 58, a passage you'll hear me mentioning a lot because it's one of my favourites. Is not this the kind of fasting I've chosen? To loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and break every yoke. Is it not to share your food with the hungry and provide the poor wanderer with shelter when you see the naked to clothe them and to not turn away from your own flesh and blood? Hear God saying when he's talking about fasting, he says, this is what grabs my attention. And today we have two people here, along with our kids, Kayla and Judah, who embody this scripture, who invest their everything to serve injustice with the justice of God, to provide the wanderer with shelter, to provide a home for those that don't have, to serve the widow and the orphan in the name of Jesus. Glasgow Elam, we are in the presence of absolute heroes today, and it's our privilege to have them as our extended family, being part of our family today. And so I wonder if you would join me. Cheryl's going to come first and share, and then Nofi's going to preach. I wonder if you would join me in expressing honour and welcome to this phenomenal couple who embody the scripture in such a powerful way. Would you welcome Cheryl and Nofi, Glasgow Elam? Yeah. Yeah, I think that's worthy. Over to you.
Thank you, everyone. I'm very touched by that. Thank you so much. It is a great honour to be here. I've been here a few times now, and I love it. I really feel very loved and welcomed by all of you. So, just from the start off, I want to say thank you for your support over the years. It's priceless to us. Okay. So, Cheryl, obviously not from Indonesia, as you can tell from the Scottish accent. I grew up in Greenock, went to school, and there's a few of my school friends sitting here. God called me into missions when I was just 14 years old, but I didn't know what to do with it, so I did nothing for 14 years. I don't advise waiting that long, but God used that time to train me and prepare me. And so when I was 28, I went and did a DTS with YWAM. So DTS means Discipleship Training School with YWAM, which is Youth with a Mission. And there they trained me and prepared me. They discipled me. They helped me to figure out who God was, how to know his character, how to hear his voice. And then they prepared me in many things that I needed to go out in the field. So after that training, I went out to Indonesia on a two-year internship at the time. And there I fell in love with the people and the culture and the language. God gave me the language. A wee lassie from Greenock can speak Indonesian, which I still can't get my head around to this day. It's an absolute miracle and a blessing. Anybody that knows me knows that I was not good at languages in school. But nothing is impossible with God. God doesn't need you to be the altogether person that is ready and has got the skills and the abilities to do his calling. He just needs a willing heart. He just needs obedience. And when you step out in obedience, God does the equipping. God gives us everything we need. So he gave me the language. He gave me a love for the people. He gave me a heart for the children. And he just brought the ground up to meet me every step I took. I've now been out in Indonesia for 19 years. And never once have I seen God disappoint me or let me down or not come through for us in any sort of way. So I started the first 2 years, I was on my own. I was with the organisation YWAM, but we were very much kind of individually trying to work in our little communities. But God answered the prayer of my heart when I asked him how I could stay in Indonesia and what my future was. He gave me a husband. And I won't go into, I told you the whole story last year in detail, I think, so I'll skip over it. But he gave me a husband and he gave me a ministry, and that ministry was King's Kids Children's Home. And anyone that knows me knows I have loved kids all my days, and I've always been involved in children's ministries. And so I came and joined Nofi, who you hear from shortly, in this children's work. And we take in at-risk children from all over Indonesia. Indonesia's made up of 17,000 islands. Only about 3,000 are occupied. There's over 300 languages, and each language has its own sub-language, so it's endless. Luckily, it's all come together. Everybody speaks Bahasa Indonesia, which I have been gifted with being able to speak. And so we can usually communicate with everyone, although the older generation sometimes don't have so much Indonesian. But we have got children coming to us from all these different islands, from Ambon, from Sumba, from Kalimantan, from Madura, from Java Island that we're on, and many, many more. And they're all children that are at risk. And to us, at risk means anyone that's experienced abuse or neglect or poverty, or they come from a broken home or an abusive home, or they've been abandoned. So there's many different things that make them at risk. But all of these children have got a right to know that they were put on this earth because God had a plan and a purpose. God loves them and he's got a plan and a purpose for them. And so our heart is to show them that. So we bring them in, they come and live with us. So I have about 40 people living in my house. So this is community living in the nth degree. We wake them up at 5 o'clock in the morning and we have devotions together. We put God first. We have morning devotions. Then it's school. Then it's lunch. It's little rest, work duties, study, homework time, and then another devotion before they go to bed around about 9 o'clock. But we don't run it as an orphanage. I hate that word. We run it as a children's home. We're a family. They're our children. They call me Mammy. And we love them and we treat them as we do our own kids. And we just try to show them that there's a Heavenly Father that loves them and he's got a plan and a purpose. And we've now been doing this for so long that we're starting to see our young kids growing up and they are going through and it's coming full circle. We have got two of our boys that are now ministering alongside us and it's absolutely amazing. So one was just 3 weeks old, 2 or 3 weeks old when he came to us, and now he's done his discipleship training school. He went through school of worship and he is discipling our kids with us, and he's also teaching them to love worship as well. So a lot of our kids are getting very musical and they're learning to reach new heights and worship with God. And our other boy, he was 7 when he came to us through the Ambon riots and massacring. He came and he's now gone through school and university. He's done his discipleship training school and he's now leading an outreach team in the discipleship school as well. So we've got our children's home and we also have our discipleship training school, DTS. We've been running them as well. And so we take students and troubled young people that have kind of already hit the gutter. They've already realized that life's not so brilliant when there's no plan and there's no purpose in their life. And we're discipling them and showing them that they have been created to fulfill a purpose and they have been created for a reason. And when we can help them to connect with God, we see amazing miracles and life-changing events happen in their life. And so as we speak, we have got some students that are in the island of Sumba and they are serving God and ministering there. And our 7-year-old boy, James, is now 31, I think, and he is leading that team there. So it's amazing to see the full circle of things and them coming back and they've got a heart. So it's lovely to see the fruits of our harvest. So that's just a little bit about us. I've got a little 2-minute video to show you that we can maybe put on just now. It's showing you some of the kids. They sent this to me while I was here. So we came over to Scotland for a month and they have been on their school holidays. And so we sent them some money so that they could do some recreational goods. Feel free just to play it in the background as I talk. So this is some of the faces of our kids. Some who have some kind of family can go back to them during the summer, but the rest stay with us and we try and make it as fun as possible. So that was the girl there, was my university graduate. This boy, Wenan, has been with us since he was just 8 years old. And that's some of our younger boys. So all these kids were looking at a very bleak future before they came to live with us. But with us, we're seeing them really thrive and get confident, and they're just happy, they're content. And she came to me when she was just 4 days old, the girl with the curly hair, and she's now in senior high. And it's amazing seeing them coming out their shell and developing their personalities and a love for God. And they all have a love for each other. I don't have them punching lumps and pulling lumps out of each other, which my sister and I did growing up. But here, they have this mutual respect. They do have their arguments, but it's not physical anymore. They learn to love each other and work together and have a lot of fun doing it. So this is just to put some of the faces to the names and just to let you see who they are. And this girl has come over from America to live with us and staff with us for a year. And her and James, my guy that's doing the outreach, have got a little love interest. So I'm hoping for some regeneration shortly. And they can then become leaders of one of our ministries. That wee boy there wants to be the next governor of Papua. He's got high hopes for himself. So these are kids that came. He came from extreme poverty. He was the eighth child. And his little cousin is coming to join us when I go back. So we have got 28 children. And we've got another two in the pipeline. This year, we've got a university graduate. We've got four graduating from high school, three graduating from senior high school, and two graduating from primary. So they're all getting up and older. But we do have a baby on the way as well, so it all keeps going. So these are some of these are the kids that you guys are supporting every month. So from them and from me, I would just like to say a really big thank you. And I'll take this time to invite Nofi up.
Yeah, it's a pleasure to us, and this is the second time for me, actually. It's such a blessing to be here to all of you guys. Thank you, Fraser, to having us, and thank you, Glasgow Elam Church family. And I want to share about Word of God, but I really apologize because I'm not speaking Greenock accent. The word that I can pick up only, I. It's very easy. Let us pray. Tuhan, terima kasih buat kebaikan-Mu.
Father, we just thank you for your goodness.
Terima kasih buat siapa Engkau dalam setiap kehidupan kami.
Thank you for who you are in each of our lives.
Kami ada karena anugerah-Mu, karena kasih setia-Mu.
We are here because of your love and your grace.
Biarlah hari ini Roh Kudus-Mu bekerja atas setiap kami.
And may your Holy Spirit work in each of us today.
Melalui kebenaran firman-Mu.
Through your truth.
Karena firman-Mu adalah pelita bagi kaki kami dan terang bagi jalan kehidupan kami.
And through your word that is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path.
Datanglah kerajaan-Mu.
May your kingdom come.
Jadilah kehendak-Mu atas setiap kami.
And may your will be done in each of our lives.
Berikan kami hati seorang murid.
Give us the heart of a student.
Dan bahkan biar setiap pikiran kami, jiwa kami, hidup kami.
And may our thinking and our souls.
Dipengaruhi oleh kebenaran firman-Mu.
Be influenced by your word, Lord.
Dalam nama Yesus.
In Jesus' name.
Nama yang ajaib.
This amazing name.
Nama yang agung.
A name worthy to be praised.
Kami mengucap syukur dan berdoa.
We give you thanks.
Amen. Amen. Yeah. Bapak Ibu Saudara yang dikasihi Tuhan.
So, all of you that are loved by God.
Sweet in Indonesian language. No. Pertama saya juga mau menyambut ada teman saya dari Indonesia. Saya tidak di sini sendirian.
First of all, I just want to welcome my friend here that's also from Indonesia.
Ada Sinta dari Indonesia juga.
Sinta's from
Indonesia. Bisa bangkit berdiri. Dan suaminya.
My husband.
Dan kedua anaknya.
So Sinta is here with her husband and our two children. They live here in Glasgow.
Dia teman sekolah saya di Jakarta dulu.
And she was friends with Novi in school back in Jakarta.
Dan saya cukup kaget bahwa kemarin ketemu beberapa orang Indonesia.
And I was really shocked a few weeks ago we met lots of Indonesians.
Saya bilang ayo kita buka gereja Indonesia di Scotland.
I was saying, oh, we should be starting an Indonesian church here in Glasgow.
Dan dia setuju.
And she's agreeing.
Okay, saya ingat waktu 7-8 tahun yang lalu.
I remember approximately 7 or 8 years ago,
Paul Hudson datang ke tempat kita.
Paul Hudson, who was a missions director for Elam, he came to Indonesia.
Dan buat saya cukup kaget karena dia mau ke tempat pelayanan di mana saya bikin gereja ya, buat bantu gereja di pedalaman di Sumba.
And I was really impressed because he wanted to come and visit the place where we had just opened a church in a very remote part of Indonesia.
Saya bilang benar yakin mau ke sana.
He said, "Are you sure? Are you really up for this journey?"
Dan dia benar-benar datang.
But he did. He came.
Terbang sekitar 18-19 jam dari Glasgow ke Jakarta.
So it's approximately 18-19 hours from he was actually from England all the way to Jakarta.
Dan dari Jakarta terbang lagi ke Surabaya.
And then from Jakarta he had to fly, take a domestic flight to Surabaya.
Dan dari Surabaya terbang lagi ke Sumba.
And we met him there in Surabaya and then we went straight to the island of Sumba.
Sampai di Sumba.
When we arrived in Sumba.
Kita harus lewat jalan darat, nyetir selama 7 jam.
We had to take a car journey for approximately 7 hours.
Dan jalannya cukup luar biasa rusak.
And this... The road quality is way worse than any of the roads in Scotland.
Kiri kanan jurang.
There would be drops on either side of the road.
Dan itu sangat mengerikan sekali jalan ke sana.
And the road was really, really bad. So it was a really hair-raising
Dan
journey.
Akhirnya kita sampai di gereja.
But eventually we got to the church.
Yang di tengah-tengah itu ada banyak orang perkampungan dari Sumba asli tinggal di satu daerah itu.
And then I said there was a lot of Sundanese people, Sumbanese people that lived round about.
Tapi di situ setiap keluarga tidak punya kamar mandi.
But each of the families, each of the houses, they didn't have a bathroom.
Jadi satu kampung hanya pakai satu kamar mandi yang keadaannya sangat-sangat tidak layak digunakan.
So for each cluster of houses, or it's not even like a village, but each cluster of houses there was only one toilet between several families. And I use the word toilet quite freely because it wasn't really what any of us would class as a suitable toilet.
Tapi pada saat Paul dan temannya sampai bersama dengan kita di Sumba.
But when Paul and a few his friends came and we arrived there in Sumba.
Dan mereka bersama-sama menyembah Tuhan.
And we gathered together and we worshipped God.
Dari salah satu gereja yang saya bantu untuk mendirikan.
And we gathered together with the locals and we all worshiped God together.
Dan kami semua merasakan bagaimana Tuhan yang hebat dalam setiap kehidupan kami.
And all of us just got a real sense of how amazing God is in each and every one of our lives.
Walaupun perjalanannya cukup sulit.
Even though the journey was really difficult and long.
Banyak tantangannya.
There was a lot of challenges along the way.
Kalau drivernya salah sedikit, kita pergi ke rumah Bapa.
If the driver was just a little bit off in his calculations, we would all have been going to our Heavenly Father.
Jadi tidak sampai ke gereja, tapi langsung sampai ke rumah Bapa.
So we wouldn't have got to church, but we would have got right the straight pass through to heaven.
Tapi saya mau katakan bahwa kita sampai kepada tujuan dan rencana Allah.
I want to say that we got to our destination and we were in God's plan.
Perjalanan yang luar biasa dalam kehidupan kita.
And the journey, the incredible journey within each of our lives,
adalah berjalan di dalam rencana Tuhan.
The incredible thing is when we are walking together with God.
Berjalan di dalam menemukan tujuan Tuhan.
And walking together to find our purpose.
Seorang penulis, seorang gembala, seorang businessman yang bernama Miles Monroe.
So a businessman, a writer, and a pastor called Miles Monroe.
Dia katakan bahwa tragedi terbesar dalam hidup manusia.
He said the biggest tragedy in the lives of people these days.
Bukan kehilangan pekerjaan.
It's not when they lose their work.
Bukan kehilangan bahkan pelayanan.
It's not even when they lose their ministry.
Bahkan bukan kehilangan keluarga yang kita kasihi.
Or losing someone loved one, a loved one, a close one, their family.
Tapi dia katakan tragedi terbesar dalam kehidupan manusia.
He says the biggest tragedy in the human life today.
Ketika dia hidup di dunia ini.
Is when they live their life in this world.
Dia kehilangan tujuan dan rencana Tuhan.
Is when they have lost their purpose in life. Purpose.
Rencana, plan.
The plan, when they haven't found the plan or the purpose in their life.
Dan ketika saya memikirkan apa yang dia katakan.
When I thought about these words.
Itu sesuatu yang menantang buat saya.
It was something that really, really challenged me.
Karena saya melihat ada begitu banyak yang orang yang sukses.
Because I see around me there's so many people that are successful.
Pekerjaannya bagus.
They have good careers, good jobs.
Keluarganya bagus, baik-baik saja.
Their family are all doing well, all's good.
Tapi ketika tidak hidup di dalam rencana dan tujuan Tuhan.
But when they don't live according to the plan and purposes of God.
Mereka kehilangan sesuatu yang berharga dalam hidup mereka.
Then they're losing out, they're missing out on something really important in their
lives. Mereka hanya melakukan apa yang orang dunia lakukan.
And so they end up just doing what everybody else, the world is doing.
Kita dibesarkan dari kecil oleh orang tua kita.
We are raised by our parents from young.
Disekolahkan.
We're sent to school.
Sampai sekolah yang tinggi.
And we sometimes go to university.
Lalu mencari pekerjaan.
Then we go out and we find a job.
Dapat pekerjaan yang baik.
We get ourselves a decent job.
Lalu menikah.
Then we go and get married.
Punya anak.
Have some children.
Punya cucu.
Have grandchildren.
Menjadi tua.
Get old.
Dan menunggu mati.
And then we just wait to die.
Pertanyaan saya adalah,
so my question to you is this.
Apakah Tuhan mendesain setiap kita hanya untuk melakukan hal itu?
Did God design us just for that?
Itu yang menjadi tanggung jawab yang besar dalam setiap kehidupan manusia.
And this is a big responsibility in each of our lives.
Menemukan tujuan Tuhan dalam hidup kita itulah yang paling berharga.
To find the purpose of God in your life, that is the most valuable thing.
Kalau saudara seorang yang bekerja.
So if you are a career person.
Apa yang menjadi tujuan dan rencana Tuhan di tempat pekerjaan saudara?
What is the purpose and plan of God for you in your workplace?
Tujuan dan rencana Tuhan harus menjadi sesuatu yang besar dalam kehidupan kita.
The purposes and the plans of God should be the biggest thing in your life.
Untuk menemukan tujuan dan rencana Tuhan.
And to find what the purpose and plan of God is in your
maka
life.
Maka ada sebuah perjalanan.
There's a journey to get there.
Karena kekristenan adalah sebuah perjalanan.
Because Christianity or the Christian walk is a journey.
Itu baru pembukaan.
This is just my opening.
Mari kita masuk kepada apa yang Tuhan mau katakan buat setiap kita.
So let us just look into what God has for each of us today.
Judul khotbah saya adalah Journey of Faith.
So the title of my talk today is Journey of Faith.
Supaya lebih kelihatan orang Kristen.
And so we look more like a Christian.
Mari kita baca firman Tuhan.
Let us read the word of God.
Genesis 12, verse 1 to 4. Mari kita sama-sama baca.
Okay, so let us read together. Genesis 12 verse 1 to 4.
Kejadian 12 ayat 1 sampai dengan ayat yang keempat.
Okay, the Lord has said to Abraham, go from your country, your people and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation and I will bless you. I will make your name great and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all the people on earth will be blessed through you. So Abram went out as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran.
Ada empat hal yang kita belajar dari perjalanan iman kita.
So there's four things we learn in our journey of faith.
Kita tahu bahwa Abraham adalah bapa dari tiga agama Samawi.
We know that Abraham was the father of four faiths.
Sorry, agama Muslim itu Muslim mengenal faith. Abraham.
The Muslim faith, they recognize Abraham.
Mereka menyebutnya Ibrahim.
They call him Ibrahim.
Yudaisme.
Judaism.
Juga mengenal Abraham.
They also acknowledge him as
Kekristenan juga mengenal Abraham.
And Christians also acknowledge Abraham.
Karena Abraham adalah bapa daripada leluhur agama-agama.
Because he is the forefather of our faith.
Sampai akhirnya Abraham menjadi bapa bagi banyak bangsa.
And he has become the father of the nations.
Untuk menjadi bapa bagi banyak bangsa,
but in order to become the father of many nations,
dia harus melewati perjalanan imannya.
He had to go through a journey of faith.
Yang pertama yang kita belajar adalah kita harus keluar dari mana kita dibesarkan dan dari mana kita berada.
And the first thing we have to do is we have to leave, to come out from the place where we are born, where we have come from.
Tuhan memanggil kita untuk keluar.
God calls us out.
Abraham dipanggil keluar.
Abraham was called out.
Dari Mesopotamia, dari Ur Kasdim, tanah kelahirannya.
He was called to come out from the place of his birth.
Tapi dalam bagian ayat yang pertama, Tuhan tidak hanya memanggil Abraham untuk keluar dari tanah kelahirannya.
But in the first verse here, we see that he wasn't just called to leave his country.
Tapi Tuhan berbicara secara spesifik buat Abraham.
But God spoke very specifically to Abraham. Sorry.
Dia katakan keluar dari tanah kelahiranmu.
He says, go out from your country.
Keluar dari sanak saudaramu, dari orang-orangmu.
From your people.
Dan keluar dari rumah bapamu.
And also out from your father's household.
Waktu saya merenungkan hal ini,
so when I was meditating on this,
Tuhan berbicara hal yang khusus.
God spoke very particular to me.
Artinya setiap orang yang dipanggil keluar,
says that everyone that is called to go out,
ada sesuatu yang harus ditinggalkan.
It means you've got to leave something behind.
Betul?
Correct.
Setiap kita pergi,
every time we go,
maka kita meninggalkan sesuatu.
Then we've left something.
Saudara pergi dari rumah, artinya saudara meninggalkan rumah.
So if you go out from your house, well then you've left your house behind.
Dan ada tiga hal yang Tuhan katakan Abraham harus pergi.
And there was three things that God said Abraham had to leave.
Pergi dari negeri.
Leave his country.
Berbicara tentang budaya.
And that talks about your culture.
Pergi dari orang-orangnya Abraham, dari di mana dia dibesarkan sebagai keluarga daripada Terah.
Leave your people.
Karena orang-orang berpengaruh dalam kehidupan di mana kita berasal.
Because the people, the community that you're raised in, they are people that influence your life.
Budaya mempengaruhi kita.
Your culture influences you.
Dan berbicara tentang rumah bapa.
And then it talks about leaving your father's household.
Setiap saudara dibesarkan oleh keluarga.
Each of us have been raised in a family.
Maka nilai-nilai dan prinsip keluarga itu akan menumbuhkan dan mempengaruhi setiap saudara.
And the principles and values that we've been raised in, they affect how we live.
Budaya mempengaruhi di mana kita hidup.
The culture affects how we live.
Orang-orang yang berhubungan dengan kita mempengaruhi di mana kita hidup.
People that we are linked to, they influence how we live.
Orang tua kita, bagaimana dia membesarkan kita, mengajar kita, mempengaruhi dalam kehidupan kita.
And the parents that raised us, they have the biggest influence over how we are.
Dan Tuhan mau Abraham keluar dari area itu.
And so God wanted Abraham to come out of all of these people.
Kenapa?
Why?
Karena dalam Yosua 24 ayat yang kedua.
Because in Joshua 24 verse 2.
Ayah seorang Abraham adalah penyembah berhala.
24 verse 2, it says that Abraham, wait, let me just get it. The God of Israel says, long ago, your ancestors, including Terah, the father of Abraham and Nahor, lived beyond the Euphrates River and
jadi
worshipped other gods. Sorry.
Jadi kita tahu bahwa ayahnya Abraham,
so we know that the father of Abraham,
Terah, seorang imam yang menyembah berhala,
that he was a priest for other gods.
Jadi Tuhan mau supaya Abraham keluar dari budaya.
And so God wanted Abraham to
keluar
come out of
dari
culture,
apa yang diajarkan yang mempengaruhi kehidupannya.
To come out of the things that had been taught, the things that were influencing his life.
Dan kalau kita lihat kata gereja,
and so if we look at the word church,
ecclesia berasal dari dua suku dalam bahasa Yunani.
It comes from two different words in Greek.
Ex dan kaleo. Ex dalam bahasa Inggris jadi exit.
Ex in English it becomes exit.
Kaleo jadi call.
And kaleo means?
Ya itu bahasa Inggris call.
Called, sorry.
Jadi gereja artinya,
so church means
orang-orang yang keluar dari kegelapan,
people that are called to come out of the darkness,
menuju kepada terangnya yang ajaib,
and to go towards the light.
Itulah gereja.
And that's what church means.
Dan Abraham adalah misionaris pertama dalam Perjanjian Lama.
So Abraham is the first missionary in the Old Testament.
Misionaris adalah orang yang pergi karena melakukan kehendak dan rencana Tuhan.
Because a missionary is somebody that goes out, that goes in order to do the will and plan of God.
Tapi untuk kita sampai kepada tujuan dan rencana Allah,
in order for us to get to the purpose of God, the destination of God,
kita harus meninggalkan sesuatu.
We have to leave something behind.
Kehidupan kita yang lama,
our old life,
ada di dalam dosa,
our sins,
hidup di dalam dosa,
living in sin,
cara berpikir sebagaimana orang dunia berpikir,
thinking in the way the world thinks.
Untuk kita bisa sampai kepada tujuan Tuhan.
In order for us to get to.
Untuk hidup di dalam rencana Tuhan.
In order to be able to live according to God's.
Saudara harus meninggalkan itu semua.
We need to leave all of that behind.
Amin.
Amen.
Jangan sampai seperti bangsa Israel.
So don't become like the nation of Israel.
Mereka pergi dengan mukjizat Tuhan.
They left Egypt with the miracles of God.
Ada tiang awan dan tiang api memimpin mereka.
There was a pillar of cloud and a pillar of fire that was leading them.
Mereka melihat bagaimana Tuhan yang hebat berjalan bersama-sama dengan mereka.
And they seen just how incredible God was and how he walked with them.
Tapi ketika mereka masih hidup dengan apa yang Mesir pengaruhi dalam hidup mereka,
but they were still living with the influence of Egypt in their life.
Generasi pertama yang keluar dari Mesir,
so the first generation that came out of Egypt,
mati di padang gurun.
They all died in the wilderness.
Karena Tuhan mudah mengeluarkan mereka dari Mesir.
Because for God it was easy for him to take them out of Egypt.
Tapi sulit mengeluarkan Mesir dalam hati dan pikiran mereka.
But it was difficult to take Egypt out of their hearts and their minds.
Sulit untuk mereka sampai, bahkan gagal untuk bisa merebut tanah Kanaan.
And that was why it was so difficult for them to get to the promised land, and that's why they died in the wilderness.
Hanya generasi yang kedua,
and it was only the second generation,
yang sampai ke tanah Kanaan,
that were able to reach the promised land,
yang dipimpin oleh Yosua,
and they were led by Joshua.
Karena apa?
And why?
Mereka tetap berpegang kepada janji Tuhan.
Because they held on to the promises of God.
Mereka memperhatikan apa yang Tuhan katakan.
They paid attention to what God was commanding them.
Perjalanan rohani saudara.
And in our spiritual walks.
Perjalanan iman saudara.
In our journey of faith.
Harus menuju kepada apa yang menjadi rencana dan tujuan Tuhan.
We need to move forward to the plan and the purpose of God.
Saudara harus keluar dari area atau zona nyaman saudara.
So we need to leave our comfort zones.
Menuju kepada zona iman.
And to go to the faith zone.
Tinggalkan sesuatu yang tidak berkaitan dengan rencana dan tujuan Allah dalam hidup saudara.
And to leave everything behind us, get nothing to do with the plan and the purpose of God in our lives.
Saudara hidup di negara barat, ada tantangan yang baru.
So you all live in the West here, and there's new challenges you face.
Kita harus hidup dengan yang namanya kompromi dan toleransi.
You have to live with compromise and tolerance.
Bagaimana saat-saat ini dunia Barat sedang melakukan sesuatu yang tidak sesuai dengan kebenaran, dipaksakan sepertinya itu biasa.
And there's many things that you're being forced to accept as normal that isn't in accordance to the Word of God.
Saya mendengar ada banyak anak-anak dikasih kebebasan untuk dia mau milih mau jadi perempuan atau mau jadi laki, bahkan mau jadi binatang.
I'm hearing that the children are being given the freedom to choose whether they want to be male or female or even an animal.
Kalau kita tidak hidup dalam kebenaran,
if we don't live in the truth of God,
maka dunia akan memuridkan saudara.
Then the world is going to disciple us.
Kita harus meninggalkan apa yang tidak berkaitan dengan kepentingan Tuhan.
So we need to leave behind everything that is not important in God's agenda.
Hidup di dalam rencana dan tujuan Allah.
And to live according to the plan and the
purpose. Tapi sekali lagi kita harus pergi meninggalkan apa yang menjadi kehidupan kita yang lama.
So we have to leave behind the things that are to do with our old life.
Selanjutnya panggilan yang kedua adalah dibentuk.
And the second calling is we are called to be shaped or to be formed.
Sebelum Tuhan berkata bahwa dia akan menjadikan Abraham bangsa yang besar.
And so before God told Abraham that he was going to become the father of a large nation.
Sebelum ada kata bagaimana Tuhan akan memberkati dia.
It says before he told him he was going to bless him.
Sebelum membuat nama Abraham masyur.
Before he was going to make the name of Abraham great.
Ada kata I will make you.
There was the saying I will make you.
Saudara tahu untuk membuat sesuatu,
and you know that in order to make something,
ada dua hal.
There's two things that have to happen.
Yang pertama adalah proses.
First is there needs to be a process.
Yang kedua adalah waktu.
And the second is time.
Kalau saudara lihat perjalanan Abraham,
so if you look at Abraham's journey,
Tuhan tidak serta merta langsung membuat Abraham menjadi bapa bagi banyak bangsa.
God didn't just immediately make him become the father of nations.
Ada proses.
But there was a process that
ada waktu untuk Abraham bagaimana mempercayai Tuhan.
It took time in order for Abraham to really trust God in it.
Bagaimana berjalan di dalam kebenaran Tuhan.
To learn to walk in God's plans.
Walaupun ada tantangannya.
Even though there was trials,
walaupun ada kesukaran.
Even though there was struggling and suffering.
Tuhan memakai setiap kesukaran dan pergumulan untuk membentuk Abraham.
God used each of these trials and each of these sufferings to mold Abraham.
Saudara tidak mudah untuk meninggalkan bangsa kita atau tempat di mana kita dibesarkan.
It's not easy for us to leave our countries or the people that we have grown up with.
Setiap kali ke Scotland,
every time I come to Scotland,
1-2 minggu saya senang.
For the first and second week, I'm really happy.
Pemandangannya hijau semua.
Everything's green, it's beautiful views.
Semua lalu lintas teratur.
All the traffic is very organized.
Enggak ada bunyi-bunyi klakson di jalan kayak di Indonesia.
You don't hear the pumping of the horns all the time like in Indonesia.
Tapi ketika hujan setiap jam lalu terang hujan lagi, gelap terang hujan lagi.
But when it starts raining every hour and then having a quick burst of sunlight, then it's raining again.
Saya rindu kampung saya.
I start to miss Indonesia.
Enggak gampang, saudara.
It's not easy.
Tapi saya salut sama istri saya, dia bisa lama di Indonesia.
But he salutes me because I have stayed long in Indonesia.
Karena ada suaminya yang terus berdoa buat dia.
Because there's a husband that's always praying for me.
Nah, saudara, saya pernah berdoa sama Tuhan.
I prayed to God once.
Kenapa Tuhan tidak kasih tahu kepada Abraham tujuan kemana dia harus pergi?
Aston says, God, why did you not tell Abraham where he had to go?
Saudara pernah baca dalam Kejadian 12 Tuhan menunjukkan secara signifikan, secara spesifik kemana Abraham harus pergi?
Have you read in Genesis 12 that God told him very specifically where he have to go?
Kalau saya suruh saudara, saudara harus pergi dari gereja ini.
If I told you had to come out of this church just now,
apa yang saudara tanggapi dari respon saya?
What would be the first thing you would ask me? Where?
Pergi kemana?
Where am I going? Where am I to go to?
Akan menjadi sesuatu yang, maaf, gila kalau kita disuruh pergi tapi tidak tahu harus pergi kemana.
It's a bit crazy if we're told to go out somewhere, but we're not told where we're supposed to go to.
Kalau kita baca Yunus, sangat jelas Tuhan suruh pergi ke Niniwe.
If we look at Jonah, he was told very clearly by God, you have to go to Nineveh.
Ingat di sini dalam Kejadian 12, Abraham belum benar-benar mengenal Tuhan.
But we see here in Genesis 12 that Abraham didn't actually know God well.
Ini perjalanan imannya bersama dengan Tuhan.
And so this is the story of his faith walk with God.
Dan ketika saya bertanya kepada Tuhan,
and so when I was asking this God this question,
lama sekali,
it took a while,
Tuhan jawab.
God answered me.
Ketika saya ada di konferensi ilm di Harrogate.
When we were down at the ilm conference in Harrogate a few years ago.
Ada tiga macam makanan yang saya suka selama ada di Scotland.
There's three types of food that I really like when I'm in Scotland.
Yang pertama steak.
First is steak.
Black Angus. Yang kedua fish and chip.
Second one is fish and chips.
Saya bisa makan tiap hari fish and chip
I
tanpa rasa bosan.
Every single day without being bored.
Yang ketiga.
And the third point.
Too much McDonald's nih. Yang ketiga adalah Subway.
Third one Subway.
Waktu di Harrogate pas konferensi itu break.
So when we had a break during conference in Harrogate,
saya cari di mana Subway yang terdekat.
I wanted to find where the nearest Subway was.
Maka saya pakai Google Maps.
So I used the Google Maps.
Lalu saya ketik Subway yang terdekat.
I typed in Subway nearest me.
Saya pencet start.
And press start.
Lalu dia menunjukkan kamu jalan 50 meter lurus.
And so the Google Maps told me to walk forward for so many meters.
Belok kiri.
Turn left.
Belok kanan.
And then turn right.
Jalan lagi 5 meter.
Keep walking straight another few meters.
Di situ subway.
And there's where your subway is.
Dan waktu saya ketemu tempatnya.
And so when I got to the subway.
Saya langsung wow.
He was happy.
Tuhan jawab apa yang menjadi pertanyaan saya.
And so God answered my question with this.
Artinya ketika saya berjalan untuk sampai di subway,
when I was going heading towards subway,
saya tergantung dengan Google Map.
I was dependent on my Google Map.
Saya mentaati apa yang Google Map katakan.
And I obeyed everything that Google Maps told me.
Saya harus cek apakah saya sudah benar sesuai apa yang Google Map katakan.
And I kept checking that what I was doing was right according to the maps.
Tuhan tidak tunjukkan arah dan kemana Abraham harus pergi.
So God didn't show the direction that Abraham was to go.
Supaya dia selalu berjalan bergantung kepada Tuhan.
So that he would always walk completely dependent on God.
Saudara, inilah kehidupan perjalanan iman kita.
And this is what our journey of faith is all about.
Apakah kita sudah benar-benar bergantung kepada Tuhan?
Are we well and truly dependent on God?
Saya sudah berapa kali mau berhenti pelayanan.
There's been several times throughout my life that I've been wanting to just give up, quit ministry.
Sebagai orang muda, saya punya cita-cita.
As a young person, I had my dreams, I had my ideas.
Saya ingin seperti teman saya yang sukses.
And I wanted to become like my friends that were all successful in
the world. Tapi ketika Tuhan panggil saya di misi,
but when God called me into mission,
saya harus menyerahkan hak saya kepada Tuhan.
I had to surrender my rights to God.
Ketika di misi ada pergumulan,
and so whenever there was struggles within our
mission, saya mengalami pembentukan.
I was being processed by other people.
Saya mengalami burnout.
I felt burned out.
Saya kepingin keluar.
And I wanted just to leave.
Perasaan saya cari aja pelayanan yang baru.
And so for me, I wanted to look for a new ministry to be
saya kerja
in.
Aja sambil pelayanan.
Or just to work and do ministry in part time.
Tapi ketika Tuhan bilang tidak.
But when God said no.
Tetap di sini.
When he told me that you stay here.
Karena aku memanggil kamu.
Because I have called you.
Dan saya harus tetap taat.
Then I had to obey.
Karena saya harus ada di dalam prosesnya Tuhan.
Because I've got to stay in the process with God.
Saya harus ada di dalam waktunya Tuhan membentuk saya.
I've got to be in the times when God is changing.
Kekristenan bukan hanya sekedar memiliki identitas agama bahwa kita orang Kristen.
So Christianity isn't just about choosing your identity because that is the religion you've chosen to follow.
Kekristenan bukan hanya menunjukkan bahwa kita pergi ke gereja bahkan paling rajin di gereja.
It's not just about being the most diligent in coming to church.
Tapi kekristenan berbicara bahwa bagaimana hidup kita tunduk kepada apa yang Tuhan perintahkan.
But being a Christian is about bowing down to the will of God.
Yesus katakan, kalau engkau mengasihi aku,
Jesus said, if you love me,
engkau menuruti firman-Ku.
You will obey my words.
Kekristenan bukan hanya mampu menyembah dengan bibir.
So Christianity isn't just about worshiping and paying lip service.
Kekristenan bukan saja mampu untuk berkata dengan bibir kita, I love you, God.
It's not just about saying with your mouth, I love you, Lord.
Tapi kekristenan berbicara tentang ketaatan hidup pada apa yang Tuhan perintahkan dalam kehidupan kita.
But it's about a life that is lived in obedience to what God is.
Abraham harus mengalami pembentukan.
And so Abraham had to experience this molding from God.
Itu sebabnya ketika Tuhan berjanji dia akan memberikan keturunan anak kepada Abraham.
And that's why God was saying that I will give you an offspring many generations.
Dia menantikan 25 tahun.
Abraham had to wait for it for 25 years.
Kita juga melihat Alkitab mencatat sungguh fair, sungguh adil.
And we see the Bible, it gives us account that is very, very fair.
Di dalam proses perjalanan iman Abraham,
we see in the process of his life,
Alkitab juga menunjukkan ada degradasi iman yang Abraham lakukan dalam kehidupannya.
We see his failures, we see when he kind of like had a dip in his faith.
Karena Alkitab berkata cukup jujur.
Because the Bible tells us it from a fair point of view.
Kalau saudara melihat dalam Kejadian 16,
so if you look in Genesis 16,
ayat yang kedua,
verse 2,
Sarah berkata kepada Abraham,
Sarah said to Abraham,
Abraham, kau tahu bahwa Tuhan tidak memberikan kita seorang anak.
Abraham, you know that God has not given us a child.
Saya mau tanya pada saudara,
I want to ask you,
ini kebenaran atau keadaan?
Is that the truth, or is that the reality they had at the time?
It's like silent night. Ini kebenaran atau ini kenyataan?
Is this the truth or was this the reality?
Abraham pernah mengalami degradasi iman.
Abraham experienced a degradation in his faith.
Dia menuruti apa yang Sarah katakan.
He listened and he followed what his wife was advising.
Dia mendengarkan apa yang manusia katakan.
He listened to what someone else was saying.
Dia setuju dengan apa yang Sarah katakan.
And he agreed with what she said.
Sarah kasih ini Hagar hambaku.
And so Sarah offered her servant Hagar.
Dan lahirlah Ismail.
And that's when Ishmael was born.
Sampai sekarang kita berurusan dengan Bani Ismail.
And to this day we're still dealing with the descendants of Ishmael.
Saudara, hati-hati dengan keputusan kita.
So be careful with your decisions.
Hati-hati kalau kita tidak berdiri di atas kebenaran.
Be careful because if you're not standing on the truth.
Saudara bisa bebas memutuskan apapun yang saudara buat.
We're free to make any decision we want.
Tapi pada akhirnya saudara tidak bisa bebas atas konsekuensi dari apa yang saudara putuskan.
But we're never going to be free from the consequence of the decisions we make.
Saudara lihat.
So we look.
Sebelum kejadian 16.
Before Genesis 16.
Kejadian 12, Tuhan berjanji kepada Abraham.
Genesis 12, God promised Abraham.
Aku akan memberikan keturunan.
I will give you a son.
Tuhan tahu Abraham lemah.
God knew that Abraham was weak.
Kejadian 13, Tuhan katakan sekali lagi.
In Genesis 13, God said it again.
Aku akan memberikan keturunan.
I will give you an offspring.
Dan Tuhan katakan lagi sebelum kejadian 16 di ayat kejadian 15.
And then in Genesis 15, God said it again to him.
Bahwa dia akan memberikan keturunan.
I will give you an offspring.
Tapi kejadian 16, tuh Abraham lebih mendengarkan Sarah daripada Tuhan.
But unfortunately in Genesis 16, Abraham listened more to his wife than to God.
Dan itu sebuah perjalanan. Sebuah perjalanan.
And it's a journey.
Kadang kehidupan kita mengalami jatuh bangun dalam iman kita.
And many times in our life we are going to fall down and get up in our
saya journey. Tahu saudara dan saya punya keterbatasan dan kelemahan.
I know that each of us have our weaknesses, we have our bad points.
Itu sebabnya mari kita datang kepada Tuhan, minta Tuhan kuatkan kita kembali.
And that's why it's really important for us to come to God and to ask Him to strengthen us again.
Dan saudara lihat klimaks daripada iman Abraham.
And then we all know the climax in Abraham's
calling. Dalam kejadian 22.
In Genesis 22.
Ketika Tuhan meminta anaknya, Ishak.
When God asked for him to give up his son.
Untuk menjadi korban yang dipersembahkan kepada Allah.
To give him as a sacrifice to God.
Apakah saudara melihat dalam kejadian 22 Abraham negosiasi dengan Tuhan?
And if you look at Genesis 22, do you see Abraham negotiating with God, pleading with him?
Ketika saya membaca ayat 22,
when I read this Genesis 22,
saya sedikit mendramatisir.
I kind of dramatized it in my head.
Saya coba bayangkan seandainya Tuhan menyuruh saya untuk mengorbankan Yuda.
And so I put myself in Abraham's shoes and I tried to imagine if God asked me to sacrifice Judah.
Dan saya harus memotong sendiri lehernya sebagai korban yang dipersembahkan pada Tuhan.
And if I had to cut his neck myself as a sacrifice.
Saya enggak bisa.
I couldn't do it.
Dan itu cukup berat.
And that's heavy, that's hard.
Tapi disinilah Abraham menunjukkan perjalanan imannya.
But there Abraham showed his maturity and his journey of faith.
Dia bukan lagi mengasihi janji Tuhan.
He didn't just love the promises of God.
Tapi dia lebih mengasihi Tuhan yang berjanji.
But he loved the God who made the promise.
Kadang-kadang kita lebih takut kepada kehilangan sesuatu daripada takut kehilangan Tuhan.
Sometimes we're more worried about losing something that we love rather than losing God.
Itulah yang membuat kekristenan kita tidak bergerak maju.
And that's why our faith, our journey doesn't progress, it doesn't go forward.
Karena kita lebih suka memberi makan apa yang menjadi keinginan daging kita.
Because we're more interested in just feeding and fulfilling the needs of ourselves.
Kekristenan selalu berjalan untuk menyukakan dan berkenan kepada Tuhan.
And our Christianity is more just about what the things that we like and things that we want.
Dan untuk hal itu kita perlu mengalami pembentukan.
And for things like that, that's when we need to go through a process with God.
Kita perlu dibentuk oleh firman Tuhan.
We need to be changed and molded by the word of God.
Kita perlu ditajamkan oleh firman Tuhan.
We need to be sharpened by the word of God.
Yang ketiga adalah,
the third point is,
dipanggil untuk sebuah tujuan.
We are called for a purpose.
Tuhan memiliki tujuan kepada Abraham.
God had a purpose for God. Abraham.
Untuk apa?
And what was that purpose?
Untuk menjadi pengaruh yang besar.
He wanted him to become a big influence.
Bayangkan siapa yang mengutuk Abraham?
So that whoever would curse Abraham,
dikutuk oleh Tuhan.
He would be cursed by God.
Siapa yang memberkati Abraham?
Whoever blessed Abraham,
diberkati oleh Tuhan.
Would be blessed by God.
Hidupnya membawa dampak yang besar.
And his life would make an incredible impact.
Saya percaya ketika saudara hidup untuk mengasihi Tuhan,
I believe that if you live in loving God,
berpegang kepada janji Tuhan,
if you hold on to his promises,
bergantung kepada Tuhan,
are dependent on God,
berjalan di dalam kebenaran firman Tuhan,
and walk according to the word
saudara
of
bukan
God,
hanya sekedar menjadi orang Kristen biasa,
you're not just going to be a normal,
tapi melalui Christian. Hidup saudara, Tuhan bekerja dalam hidup saudara.
But through your life, God will work through you in amazing ways.
Amin. Saya enggak pernah berpikir Tuhan membawa saya untuk melayani banyak orang, banyak anak.
I never ever imagined that God would bring me to work with many people and many children.
Saya dari latar belakang keluarga yang broken home.
I come from a very broken home.
Sampai akhirnya Tuhan pulihkan keluarga kami.
But God has restored our family.
Dan Tuhan pakai saya untuk membawa orang-orang, anak-anak yang broken home, yang mengalami abuse, yang miskin, untuk melihat kebaikan dan kasih Tuhan.
But God has used me to minister to many children that have come from broken homes that have experienced abuse and poverty.
Dan itu semua karena anugerah Tuhan.
And that is all because of God's grace.
Dan itu juga karena saya mau belajar taat bergantung kepada Tuhan.
And because I wanted to discipline myself to obey God and be dependent on him.
Tuhan bisa pakai siapapun.
God can use anyone.
Tuhan bisa pakai saudara.
He can use you.
Karena dia tidak memanggil orang-orang yang berkualifikasi.
Because he didn't call people that were qualified.
Karena Tuhan adalah kualifikasi atas orang-orang yang dipanggilnya.
But he qualifies those he calls.
Dia akan memampukan saudara.
And so he will give you the ability.
Dia yang akan menguatkan saudara.
He will strengthen you.
Dia akan berjalan bersama dengan saudara.
He will go with you.
Walaupun ada tantangan.
Even though there's challenges.
Walaupun ada pergumulan.
Even though there's struggles.
Walaupun sulit sepertinya buat apa yang saudara pikirkan.
Even though it's very, very hard.
Tapi bersama dengan Tuhan tidak ada satupun yang mustahil.
But if you are going with God, there is nothing that is impossible.
Sebagaimana Abraham dipanggil untuk menjadi berkat.
So how Abraham was called to be a blessing.
Sebagaimana Abraham dipakai untuk memberikan dampak yang besar atas dunia, atas bangsa-bangsa.
And he became a person of huge influence on his nation and on the world.
Hal yang sama Tuhan juga bisa pakai saudara.
And God can do the same with each of us.
Saudara hanya perlu bergantung kepada Tuhan.
You just need to be dependent.
Saudara
on
hanya
God.
Perlu berdiri di atas kebenaran firman Tuhan, bukan berdiri di atas kenyataan dan keadaan.
You just need to stand on the truth of the word of God and not stand on the circumstances.
Amen. Yang terakhir.
And final point.
Semua kelihatan senyum ya kalau terakhir.
You all smile when I say it's the last one, ya.
Setelah apa yang Tuhan katakan pada Abraham?
So after God has spoken to Abraham.
Walaupun Tuhan enggak kasih tahu harus pergi kemana.
Even though he didn't tell Abraham where he was going.
Tapi apa yang ayat 4 katakan?
But what did he say?
Abraham pergi dan berjalan.
So what does it say? It says that Abraham went out.
Saudara dan saya dipanggil untuk taat kepada firman-Nya.
We are called to obey his word.
Karena ketaatan pada firman Tuhan.
And when we obey the word of God.
Itu yang membawa hidup saudara sampai kepada tujuan Tuhan.
It will bring us to the destination that God has for us.
Ketaatan pada firman Tuhan.
If we are trusting in the word of God,
itu yang menunjukkan bahwa saudara hidup di dalam rencana dan tujuan Tuhan.
It shows that we are living in the plans and the purposes of God.
Ketaatan pada Tuhan.
If we are obeying God,
itu yang membuktikan bahwa saudara mengasihi Tuhan.
It shows that we love God.
Kekristenan bukan ditandai dengan banyaknya saudara pergi ke gereja.
Christianity or Christians are not marked by how often they go to church.
Bahkan saya mau katakan kekristenan bukan dilihat dari berapa banyak saudara bisa melayani Tuhan.
It's not about how much you can minister to God.
Tapi kekristenan berbicara berapa banyak saudara mentaati apa yang Tuhan katakan dalam hidup saudara.
But it talks about how much you're obeying God in your life.
Mari kita menjadi orang-orang yang taat.
So let us become people of obedience.
Karena kita juga adalah anak-anak Abraham.
Because we are also the children of Abraham.
Bapa orang percaya.
He is the father of the faith.
Bapa orang beriman.
Father of the faith.
Untuk itu mari kita memberikan hidup kita untuk taat kepada kehendak Tuhan.
So let us give our lives to obey God.
Saudara, beberapa waktu yang lalu saya mengalami banyak tantangan.
A short while ago I was going through an awful lot of challenges.
Bahkan ketika di Scotland.
Even when we're here in Scotland.
Dalam pelayanan kami terjadi sesuatu.
In our ministry something was going on.
Saya tidak tidur selama 3 malam.
And for about 3 nights I couldn't really sleep.
Karena harus pikirkan terus.
Because I was kept thinking about what was happening.
Bahkan saya sempat mau pulang ke Indonesia sebelum masa liburan habis.
To the point that I was thinking I maybe just have to cut my holiday short and go home.
Itu pikiran saya.
That was my thinking about it.
Itu perasaan saya.
That was how I was feeling.
Akhirnya sampai saya bilang, Tuhan, saya mau menyerahkan kepada Engkau.
But I just prayed and I said, God, I want to surrender all this to your hands.
Karena apapun yang saya pikirkan, apapun yang saya rasa, tidak akan pernah menyelesaikan masalah.
Because what I was thinking and what I was feeling, it wasn't going to bring a solution to the problem.
Masalah hanya bisa selesai ketika kita menyerahkan kepada Tuhan.
The problem can only be solved when I surrender it all to God.
Saya enggak tahu apa yang terjadi dalam kehidupan saudara.
So I don't know what's going on in your life just
mungkin
now.
Saat ini sebagai orang percaya, sebagai orang Kristen, saudara punya masalah.
Maybe as a believer, as a Christian, you're going through a problem.
Saudara punya pergumulan.
Maybe there's something you're really struggling with.
Abraham punya pergumulan, dia enggak punya keturunan.
Abraham's issue was he didn't have an offspring, he didn't have a son.
Tapi dia hanya percaya kepada Tuhan.
But he trusted in God.
Mazmur 37 ayat 5. Psalm 37 verse 5. Dikatakan, serahkanlah hidupmu kepada Tuhan dan percayalah maka Ia akan bertindak.
So surrender your heart to God and percaya.
Serahkan, surrender and trust.
In all your ways, trust in Him in all your ways, and He will direct your path.
Proverbs 3, verse 5 till 6. Amsal 4.
Yeah.
Amsal 3 ayat 5 dan 6.
Proverbs, he said in English.
Percayalah kepada Tuhan dengan segenap hatimu.
Trust in the Lord with all your heart.
Bukan dengan segenap kekuatan kita.
With all your strength.
Dan Tuhan juga akan meluruskan jalan hidup saudara.
So God will make your path straight.
Mari kita menjadi seperti Abraham.
So let us be like Abraham.
Keluar dari masa lalu kita.
To come out from our past.
Meninggalkan kehidupan nilai-nilai yang tidak sesuai dengan firman Tuhan.
To leave our old life behind, the values that weren't in accordance with God's will.
Mau dibentuk di dalam prosesnya Tuhan, waktunya Tuhan.
Allow ourselves to go through the process of God to be shaped and molded.
Dan mau menjadi berkat bagi kehidupan orang lain.
And to become a blessing to other people.
Karena Tuhan hidup dalam kehidupan saudara.
Because God is living in us.
Dan belajar taat kepada kebenaran firman Tuhan.
And learn to always obey the word of God.
Amin. Sebagai penutup.
And in closing.
Saya mau saudara sama-sama ikutin kata saya.
I would like you all to say this with me.
Yesus adalah sumber kehidupan.
Jesus is a source of life.
Kalau kita berhubungan dengan Tuhan Yesus sebagai sumber kehidupan,
if we have a relationship with God as a source of our life,
segala sesuatu yang hidup,
everything that is living,
pasti bertumbuh,
will grow.
Segala sesuatu yang bertumbuh,
everything that grows,
pasti berubah,
will change.
Amin. Tuhan Yesus memberkati.
Jesus bless you.
Mari kita berdoa.
Let us pray.
Terpujilah Engkau ya Abba ya Bapa.
Father, we praise your name.
Karena kasih-Mu dan kuasa-Mu ada di dalam kehidupan kami.
Because your love and your authority is in each of our lives.
Biarlah kami boleh hidup untuk memenuhi apa yang menjadi rencana dan tujuan-Mu dalam hidup kami.
May we live and fulfill the plans and the purposes that you have for each of us.
Berikan kami kekuatan.
Give us your strength, Lord.
Kami tahu kami lemah.
We know that we are weak.
Kami tahu kami terbatas Tuhan.
We know that we have our restrictions.
Tapi kami memiliki Engkau Bapa yang tidak terbatas.
But we know that we have you and you have got no limits.
Yahweh yang hebat di dalam kehidupan kami.
That you're an amazing Father in our lives.
Dan kami menyerahkan hidup kami.
And we surrender our lives.
Pakai kami.
Use us, Lord.
Bentuk kami, Tuhan.
Shape us, Lord.
Untuk menjadi berkat.
To be a blessing.
Di negara ini.
In this country.
Di keluarga kami.
In our families.
Di gereja.
In our church.
Di kota.
In this city.
Bahkan di bangsa-bangsa.
And in the nations.
Biarlah namamu dimuliakan.
May your name be glorified.
Di dalam setiap kehidupan kami.
In each of our lives.
Amen.
Amen.